folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. Say this each week, we do love hearing from all of you. Your comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, I think a lot of us, this hit home this last week when we heard of the passing of the great Robert Duvall, passing away at the age of 95 on his horse farm in Virginia, leaving a legacy on the silver screen from Time to Kill a Mockingbird, The Godfather, to winning an Oscar for Tender Mercies. He had a love for Westerns and horsemanship. Early in his career, Duvall noticed that actors in movies didn't have the right seat when riding horses and that stunt doubles were relied upon. On his own accord, he took up horseback riding and learning from those that taught stunt doubles proper horsemanship, which led to him owning a farm, raising horses, and performing his own stunts for the movies. Thanks to the movies, such as a cameo in the original True Grit, to the epic miniseries Lonesome Dove and Open Range, some have dubbed Robert Duvall as the Godfather of Westerns. Now, I gotta ask you this. How well do you know our by far favorite movie of Tigger's and ours, Lonesome Dove, where Duvall played Captain Augustus Gus McCrae, a Texas Ranger turned cattle rancher, a role that would earn him a Golden Globe? Now, Tigger, here we go. You're shaking your head because you are a major Lonesome Dove fan.
Don't even throw that at me. I could literally start and literally go through the whole movie. So if y'all have, what, 6-7 hours, I will do the whole movie for you. Every character.
Well, first out the gate then, how old was Robert Duvall during the production of Lonesome Dove?
He's close to 60. 58.
He was 58 years old. Bam. Yes, you are right. And he did perform his own stunts in the movie.
He did.
Only when he didn't is if you remember the scene when they're in a big herd of buffalo.
Oh, when he wants to chase buffalo with P.I.
Yes, there's only a small little
and he gets shot
glimpse.
In the leg with
yes,
arrows.
That's the only time he was not performing his own stunts. So pretty dang good, if you ask me, for a guy that on his own realized the silver screen needed cowboys that were actually cowboys. Now, Duvall starred alongside which actor in this epic
Tommy
Western?
Lee Jones.
Wow, I was going to offer up Kevin
Robert
Costner,
Urich.
Clint Eastwood, Tom
Robert
Jones, Sam
Don't
Allen.
Even
You're like,
just
no,
quit.
It's Tommy
just,
Lee Jones.
Just quit, because I have the DVD, of course, of Lonesome Dove, but if you have not read the book, get the book and read it, because it gives you a little bit more of the backstory on the characters.
Absolutely, I agree. And by the way, when you look at these actors, Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones, for those that didn't know, he's another actor who was an experienced horseman already, and he refused to use a stunt double in the movie whatsoever. He did all of his own stunts.
He's got a ranch in Sheridan, Wyoming.
And another in Texas.
Just a little FYI. I said mine first. Go ahead.
All right, Tigger. So let's have it out of you. What is your most favorite quote from Lonesome Dove?
Can I say this on the radio?
I know which one you're wanting
Can
to
I say.
Can I say
this
one
on the radio?
This one's for all the guys.
Okay. This one.
Go for it.
All right.
Just go for it.
I won't say I did. I won't say I didn't, but I will say this. A man who doesn't cheat for a poke don't want one bad enough. Come on, darling.
There you go.
I literally can do the whole... the whole movie. I mean, of course, there's the ones like, we don't rent pigs. That's a common one. At the end, you know, when Gus, I don't want to ruin the movie if you haven't seen it, but when he says, by God, Woodrow, it's been quite a party.
That's one of the best closing
I
lines
bawled
for the
my
movie.
Eyes
yes,
out at the
yes.
End of that thing.
Another one of my favorites was, it ain't dying, I'm talking about,
it's
living.
Yep, yep, yep.
And lastly,
do you know what scene that is from when he says that to Woodrow? Here's the scene. It's when they ride back from San Antonio, and they were in San Antonio to find themselves a cook. And then all of a sudden, Gus took off, and he went to a little place that he used to picnic with a woman. And
yes.
Gus said, when he says, what got into you, Augustus? And he said, I doubt you'd understand. I'm not going to go through the whole dialogue, but that's when they kind of talk about Gus and how he lost the love of his life. Claire
and
Allen.
Where does Captain Woodrow end up taking Gus's body back after the after he passes
back
away?
Back home.
Right to where you were talking about.
Back
to
home
Clara's.
To that little place where him and Clary Allen used to picnic.
Yes,
in
absolutely.
In the stand of pecan trees.
Now, this last quote is one of my favorites, and we actually have this hanging in our kitchen, along with a beautiful print of Gus and Woodrow. And this quote says, "Ain't nothing better than riding a fine horse in new country."
Is it new country or fresh country? A
new country.
Country. Okay.
Yes.
You almost got double guess me on that.
But while we're talking about Robert Duvall, I do want to throw out another movie that a whole new generation was introduced to him thanks to, and that was the movie Secondhand Lion.
Oh, I remember that one.
If you've not seen the movie Secondhand Lion, this is a terrific family film that you can watch with all ages. That's
you
why
really
I bring this up.
You like this one.
I do.
This
I do.
This is one of yours. I thought you were going to bring up Days of Thunder, the racing movie with Tom Cruise.
Well, that's good, but I'm thinking family friendly,
family
okay?
Family. All right.
Lonesome Dove is almost family friendly, but there's a few scenes you probably shouldn't have the kids watch. But
it's just awesome. Just watch it again this weekend.
Secondhand Lion, I highly recommend. And there's a quote that stands out from these old bachelor uncles. That's how they are now. These guys, Duvall was then in his 70s, and he said, "We're old, damn it. Leave us alone." How many of you feel like that in your daily life as you go on and on? Robert Duvall, all I can say is thank you for the legacy you left on the silver screen, for keeping Westerns as they are. And to me, you will always be the godfather of Westerns.
And now you can go and whack that darn bell all you want to, you old bandit.
Let's take a short break right now. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
This is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game. The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts.
Bull and female sales, commercial heifers, products, services, and information, it's all on RanchChannel.com. Make it easy on yourself. Head to RanchChannel.com on your phone. Click those three little dots in the corner and save it to your home screen. Use it, like it, love it, ranchchannel.com.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one, Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Want to add just a little bit of spice to your event, your customer appreciation supper, your banquet, your meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Well, bring in us. Beck and I, your keynote speakers, hosts, MCs, a host couple. We'll make them laugh, even cry tears of joy. Call us today.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. And, of course, Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the other seat.
So I need to bring this up. I'm going to jump in right here. You have not mentioned this all month long because you're a big one for celebrating a birthday month. And you let everybody know that the month of February is your birthday. Next week is your actual birthday, on the 24th, by the way.
If anybody
wants to
know.
Send you an email or something like this. So because you were a good sport and you didn't carry on that it's your birthday month, I have a little Q&A for you of, would you do this for your birthday? Some adventures. And I think a lot of people have gotten to know you now over the years, and you've shared all of your different adventures and trips and all these different places that you've gone. So I've got a little Q&A of, would you do this for your birthday? Okay.
I'm ready.
The first one, and I think you've done this recently. I should know this, but you've done so many things. Zipline, would you do that?
Yes, and I actually did just do this. I did it last June when I was in Alaska on an Alaskan cruise. Ziplining was awesome, and I'm going to let you know, I am terrified of heights, but that didn't hold me back. And I went on an excursion without any of my family or friends. I booked this, went off on my own, ended up making friends with all these other people that had never ziplined before.
And
everybody had a blast.
Because they were just as scared as you were.
But we were scared together.
So how long did that last? Like the actual ride, what would you say that lasted? 30 seconds maybe?
Oh, it's very, very short. And like the one I went to, you went from tree to tree. So you had moments of stopping and then re-rigging and heading on.
Oh, I thought it was just one solid stretch that they put you in the little cradle and they shoved you down and you would go through, and when it was over, it was over.
Well, some are like that, but no, this one was a you got to another station.
And then you got to this next one. I know the answer to this. Scuba diving, I know that's an absolute yes, because that has been on your bucket list. You would like to be, what is it, certified? Is that the right word?
Yes.
So scuba dive, that's something you'd like to do?
I have never scuba dived. However, I want to, and it will happen someday in my life. It's an absolute bucket list item for me to get certified and to do so. I have snorkeled in the ocean. That was unbelievable.
You're so bougie. I have snorkeled in the ocean. When did you do that?
I did that for my 29th birthday because I realized I'd never gone on a spring break, per se, growing up on the ranch. So when I turned 29, a girlfriend and I went to the Bahamas. We went on a cruise. This is a little tidbit, though, for when you know who you're traveling with, is to really know that person. Because, for example, I had booked this excursion. Excursions get expensive, to go snorkeling, and we were miles out in the ocean, could not see land, only to find out that my girlfriend, once she had the suit on, the snorkel gear, and the landing got dropped down so you can go into the ocean, she literally froze up terrified. And she said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't
see
land.
So did she have a fear of the water?
Yes, she was. She could swim comfortably in, how do I say, controlled atmosphere, meaning a pool.
Right.
But the thought of being outside of a pool was just
in
too
the ocean
much for
was
her.
See, and yes. I couldn't do that because I have a fear of the water. I'm pretty near scared of the bathtub, for crying out loud. I couldn't do that. Skydiving. And I know you said a fear of heights, and I know that you kind of have a fear of heights with that. To a degree, I'm going to defend you on that. But would you skydive?
I don't think I could do it. I just don't think I could do it. Now, I could parasail. That I would like to try because you're over a body of water. I'm a very good swimmer, so I feel like if I dropped out of the sky, I'd still be okay.
Okay, parasailing is when you're kind of in the harness. They pull you behind a boat. You've got, a parachute on behind you. Oh, yeah,
yes,
obviously
yes.
A parachute to push you up in the air. I don't know if I could even do that. Maybe, I mean, you get a life jacket.
Just think, the boat, somebody's looking to see if you fall. Someone will come back
for
you.
Yeah, but you've seen me swim, and I'm an anomaly. I have showed you this, and I'm like, Beck, watch, I sink. And we've been in the shallow, the kiddie pool, and you're thinking,
honey,
he sinks.
Honey, I've watched you flip over a kayak with yourself only to yell
this
at you to stand up.
This isn't about me right now. We are not going into that story. We won't even go there. Okay. How about an ultralight plane? And for those of you that don't know what an ultralight is, that's the best way I can describe it. It looks like a go-kart, and it's got kind of a big fan behind you, and it's got wings, and it's literally this little ultralight plane.
There's no way. I just know I couldn't do it. Even though it's another bucket list item to eventually get my pilot's license because I love being up in planes, there's no way I could do an ultralight.
You wouldn't be Maverick and Goose. Well, I guess we can't be Maverick and Goose. Goose dies. So one of us has to be Maverick and Goose. No, I would love to do this, but I did a little research on ultralight planes, and I have over the years. Are they dangerous? They can be. And the research was 60 to 80% of the accidents that happen in ultralight planes are based on human interaction somehow.
Operator error.
That's exactly right, that you didn't know how to maintain them. And yes, they are very susceptible to wind changes and to turbulence. But here was a question that I wanted to ask you because I'm really kind of fascinated of what you've all done in your life. And you have. I can't say you've traveled the globe, but pretty darn close. I mean, you've gone overseas. You have backpacked in Europe. Well, I should take that back. You lived out of a backpack is what you did when you went over to France or, I don't know, Austria or someplace over there.
Okay, so probably the most unique trip I had was my first one over there. And I was in college, went over there for the College of Ag, went to school, had a host family, and a lot of other college students went as well. However, I went on a standby ticket that I had gotten from, get this, I had no money in college, so I literally traded giving horseback riding lessons to a pilot's wife. And the pilot, in exchange, instead of paying me, he gave me his standby tickets. But here's where the story gets crazy, all right? If you can imagine, years ago, I'm 20 years old in a foreign country. I don't speak the language.
And no cell phone, right?
No, you didn't cell, have a cell phone at that time. And after the tenure was done for the summer program, heading back to the States, I happened to land it right when holiday was kicking off over there, meaning everybody is traveling. So good luck getting a seat on a plane. By the way,
so standby meant that you couldn't jump on the plane. You had to wait until there was a seat available to come home.
Yes, a standby ticket allows you to fly on all these different flights. However, that's the key. There has to be a seat available. Well, I got to Paris and said goodbye to all my friends that were heading back to the States, only to find out that every flight was overbooked. And then not just overbooked, they were like going on strike, union strike. So I lost all my luggage. All I had on me was just my backpack with just bare necessities.
So your luggage was already going over?
It was stuck somewhere in Paris, and it ended up actually being stuck there for weeks. I'm going to put it that way.
Okay,
that's like a whole other part of the story.
Gotcha. Okay.
But anyway, I'm sitting there looking at how many flights from Paris to United States were happening every day. And I'm going, oh my gosh, the odds are not in my favor. So the last phone call my parents got was from me being, I was probably a little hysterical, a little emotional. Imagine you're 20-year-old without a cell phone in a foreign country calling you and saying, I don't know how, but I'm going to backpack. I'm going to somehow jump trains. I'm going to get to Amsterdam because they have the most flights to the United States per day. I think my odds are better there. I'll call
you when I
get there.
Versus, you mean just waiting at the airport and waiting for a day or two or three before something finally opened up.
Exactly. And my parents had to wait almost 48 hours until they heard from me that I had made it to Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
So this is where the story gets interesting, because you've told me this a few times and you've shared more details with me where, like, literally you had to just jump on this train and you were evading the authorities.
Yes.
To jump on this train to try to get your...
Get this. Listen to this. If you've never heard of a Eurorail pass, you buy these when you go over to Europe and you're allowed X amount of days to ride on the high-speed trains. Come to find out, my Eurorail pass actually ran out the day that I needed to try to get myself to Amsterdam. So I had a gentleman, like police, running down with sticks, waving at me, screaming at me in French, and pulling me off of a train, told I couldn't get on the train. I couldn't renew my Eurorail pass. And so I ended up having to take a choo-choo train, like an old-time choo-choo train, and it broke down twice. I can't even make this up. It broke down twice on the way to Amsterdam.
This is like planes, trains, and automobiles. That's what this is like.
It took 10 hours to get there, and I ended up making friends with a Canadian couple because there was an individual that was following me from rail car to rail car, and he was trying to almost like steal my backpack and waiting until I would sleep, and weird things were happening.
Oh, and probably noticed you were shaken up and you were alone.
Yeah.
And scared.
So I experienced a lot as a 20-year-old, and most people would have probably been like, I'm not ever doing this again. And yes, I've gone back a few more times.
So you made it to Amsterdam. You were able to get yourself a ticket, and you were obviously able to come home.
I still remember telling the ticket agent when I got to Amsterdam, I had tears running down my cheeks. And I remember telling that agent, and she just looked like she wanted to give me a hug, saying, I don't care what flight you got to do to get me over this ocean. I can land in Mexico. I'll speak enough Spanish to eventually get back into the United States. Just get me home.
So landing the plane on this, literally, when you flew back home into the United States, boy, we've talked about a lot here in this, but when you got home, and you went through customs, did you tear up that you were on home soil and you knew that you were at least in the United States and you were home?
I cried when I got on the plane that left Amsterdam.
I was crying.
So relieved.
Hours
and
before.
I was sitting on one of those bumper seats that they pull down for pilots in the back or for extra people. So it wasn't a comfortable seat.
So you had to sit on that thing for 16 hours coming home.
But all I cared was I was coming home.
Well, Beck, happy birthday early. You don't have to do one like that. How about we just celebrate your birthday a little bit calmer? How about that? No skydiving, no evading the police, nothing like that. How about that?
I'm good with that. And on that note, let's take a quick break, crew. You're listening to The Ben Show.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
LivestockMarket.com. We hear from the crew at LivestockMarket.com every week. Bulls, cows, bred heifers, open to replacement heifers, cow-calf pairs, feeders and stockers, horses, pigs, goats, sheep, show stock, hay and straw, and even alpacas. All listed on LivestockMarket.com.
The hunt. The stories. The memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory, with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve your...
Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, and Ryan Long Shotgun, as always, is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, I know we're getting to the end of February, and some of you may be scratching, hustling, thinking, what are we doing for spring break? So we'll probably talk about this more in other shows upcoming, but I wanted to bring this up. Did you know that the first 2 weeks of March are the best time to travel to many destinations because so few schools are on spring break? So those of you that don't have kids, maybe you want to take the opportunity before the schools take a break and knock out some places right off the bat.
Or those of us who have never been on a spring break.
Take an early spring break?
Ever. I've never taken a spring break. I didn't in college. I didn't after. I've never been on a spring break.
Honey, that's because as an adult, we have bull sale season. That is our spring break.
That's all the break that we need.
But just
which, by the way, we do have to wrap up because we got another one we got to get to and got to leave in about 15 minutes.
I know. But just a little FYI this year, prices are going to peak around Easter, just in case you've been watching, because many schools have aligned their spring break with the holiday this year. In 2026, the Easter holiday weekend is the first weekend in April, just to kind of bring it home for you so you realize how soon this is.
We have a bull sale that weekend, too. We have like four of them. Just letting you know.
Oh, my gosh. And by the way, those of you thinking about going to Europe, their active season doesn't really start until April. So you're good through March if you want to skip over the pond. But since the weather is a little bit more predictable in March here in the United States, many of our tourists delay travel till later in the spring. So that's why I'm bringing this up. Where is
you mean
somewhere...
that March is unpredictable?
That's what I meant. My bad. All right. So this brought to my attention, I thought, why not talk about some of these places that we should be going to that we don't really think about going to in the off season? And the biggest one that came to my mind was Yellowstone National Park. Now you're thinking, why is March the best month to visit? Well, hear me out on this. Spring is when the buffalo, the bison, the calves are born. The bears with cubs, they're starting to emerge from hibernation. And the vegetation in March is still thin. So if you're trying to get good views of the elk and the moose, they're a lot easier to spot.
Oh, that's a neat idea. And the fact that there's just not as many people.
That there too.
You don't have to get in lines with your vehicle for hours on end.
March is also known as one of the best months to see the wolves in Lamar Valley. And as you said, no crowds, you know. Only thing is you have to realize that there are still chances for snow and colder temperatures in Yellowstone during March.
Now, you've been to Yellowstone, right?
Multiple times.
Of course.
Well, anyway, just a little update, though, or heads up, in case you didn't know this. It's open year-round, the north entrance in Gardner, Montana, to the northeast entrance of Cook City, Montana. So, you know, it's still considered winter time in March, so not all of the roads are open through Yellowstone. That's why I'm bringing this up. You have to stick to the north entrance. But if you do a quick Google search, it'll show you that there are multiple tours throughout the off season in Yellowstone. So think about it. You get to see Yellowstone in a whole different way. So because these interior park roads are closed to private vehicles, it's popular to take guided options, which include how cool would this be? A snow coach tour. If there's snow on the ground, like around Cook City, snowmobiling tour. Or they even have
snowmobiling tour. Now that would be fun. That would be groovy.
Look at that. Tigger automatically sat up in his seat.
That would be groovy.
Another idea would be an educational wildlife safari. So you actually are getting guided. Somebody's telling you what you're seeing. Sit back. Let somebody else do the driving. These are just some great ideas. A lot of times people like to pair Yellowstone with the Grand Tetons. They're the same way. You're more than likely going to fly into Wyoming, but be sure to call ahead to find out what's open and what's not. And that's all for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending us in any questions you might have if you know of something spot-worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports. That number again, call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And remember, if you missed part of this episode or you want to hear past shows, you can find them all on the website, thebendshow.com. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.